The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 492. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Well, it's the end of August, and in a few days it'll be the beginning of September, so that means it's time for another State of Pro Wrestling. A great conversation that myself and Gerald Glassford of the Pop Culture Cosmos do every single month, talking about all of the news that's fit to talk about. And this edition is no different. It is going to be packed with wrestling news, including the unfortunate situation involving Psycho Stu and, of course, Rajah Jackson. We also talk about the WWE and how maybe John Cena's retirement is overshadowing some other programs and angles that should have gotten some press. We also talk about Hangman Page and his second title run as the AEW Heavyweight Champion. Of course, other miscellaneous WWE and AEW news. So you definitely don't want to miss out on this episode. And so, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go ahead and just throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear myself and Gerald Glassford from the Pop Culture Cosmos talk about the state of pro wrestling.
Ding, ding, ding. And we're back with another episode of The State of Pro Wrestling for late August, September, getting into the fall. Years flying by in the world of pro wrestling. It's Gerald Glassford stepping back into the ring along with my tag team partner. Once again, giving him the tag in as he's holding on the tag rope, begging to be tagged in. It is a good man indeed. You got to go ahead and catch him today at the PVD Cast, wherever you get your podcasts. And also, Matt Talk, not Wrestling Talk, Matt Talk, covering the world of Matlock that's out there as well. Wherever you get your podcasts, out on social media, nobody works harder out there on social media, whether you like it or not, than my tag team partner, John Orlando. What's up, my friend?
Not much. What's up with you?
I've just been trying to catch up with all the stuff that's going on. Ooh. Trying to, you know, by the way, you like TJ Johnson, my co-host on the Friday show, the PC Multiverse, you will be taking a quiz at the end of the show on exactly everywhere the WWE is going to be playing. So I just wanted to let you know.
I'm excited to discuss all these topics. We have a bevy of topics to discuss, and I'm ready to get into it. So I'm ready. Let's go.
Sometimes I try to, ask if there's something you wanted to put in or I wanted to put in as far as maybe a filler type deal for a segment, whatnot. No time to do that today. It's all stuff that's relating to the world of pro wrestling. So we're going to get down to it right now. But we start off on a serious note, my friend. I know that over the weekend, you in your relation to the indie scene has seen your share of discourse behind the scenes. Well, this played out over the video social media outlet Kick in regards to Rajah Jackson, son of former MMA and UFC Hall of Famer. Of course, Quentin Rampage Jackson. He was egged on initially, before the event took place, by independent wrestler Psycho Stu. And he was hit upside the head with a soda can. Hard way, I think it was. I don't think it was worked, but because the Psycho Stu thought he was a fellow wrestler, as far as a pro wrestler. I guess there was a mistake in that. He apologized. Stu apologized. They thought everything was cool between each other, kind of, at least on Psycho Stu end, according to what you see on the video. But I guess as of the promoters or individuals that were there, I should say, in relationship to the independent wrestling company, Knox Pro Wrestling Academy, which is partially owned by Rikishi, which everybody knows from WWE fame. Some of the individuals involved there, whether they were in business of promoting or whether in the business of just being wrestlers there, goaded, I guess, Mr. Jackson, Raja Jackson on. And Raja Jackson only got madder and madder and madder during the course of the evening. And when it came time to the match for Psycho Stu against another opponent, Raja Jackson was sitting at ringside, first row. I guess there was a little bit of discourse and a wrestling match between Psycho Stu and his opponent. Psycho Stu just, I believe, got off a slam, according to the footage that I saw, which is available on social media. If you try to post this now, if I try to post this on YouTube, this video would be taken down. So I'm not going to be able to do that for you guys. So I'm sorry. You're going to have to check social media, most likely on Twitter, for that type of footage, because it is explicit. It is dangerous and it's violent. But once Psycho Stu got finished with this move, Raja Jackson came into the ring, proceeded to go ahead and give him, what would you say, like a wheelbarrow slam, an MMA style wheelbarrow slam. Psycho Stu hit the back of his head on the mat. It looked like he was knocked out cold from that point. And Raja Jackson proceeded to hit him with him just laying there, He was already out before any punches started. But Raja Jackson, who was told by one of those individuals within the confines of Knox Pro Wrestling to give him a receipt. And boy, did he, giving him not only the slam that we talked about, that I just talked about, but I believe as he was already unconscious, proceeded to give him 20 plus punches to the face, severely injuring him. Your thoughts on this before it was broken up? I mean, because there was a referee standing there doing nothing. There was another wrestler that was there that was just, you know, I guess you could try to say giving the lightest effort you can, in our opinion, to pulling him off, until another wrestler came into the ring and literally just dived and tackled him, Roger Jackson, to get him off there. There was a pull apart. Several wrestlers finally then got Raja Jackson out of the ring, and then you heard Raja Jackson on his kick stream video, you know, walking down the street, continuing for quite some time, talking about how he dished out this punishment. Your thoughts on this? It's a very tragic incident. The authorities are looking into it. Psycho Stu himself, who is a veteran in real life, Stuart Smith, who was suffering from PTSD and wanted to try and alleviate some of that by getting into the professional wrestling business. He'd been a veteran for over 10 years. He is, I believe, as of this recording, still in the hospital. He was, I think, lost several teeth, facial injuries. He was actually choking on his own blood at one time in the ring. There's another video circulating reportedly that another wrestler came up and fake pinned him with the ref counting three, I believe. That's also being tossed around. Very, very terrible situation, my friend. Knox Pro has had its WWE ID status taken away by WWE. They have terminated that. For a lot of these wrestlers who were there, this doesn't look good for them and their future in this business. This is a stain on the industry in and of itself. There was a lot of miscommunication. There was also some bad communication and some really downright stupid communication. I'm not excusing Raja Jackson for anything that he did as far as it's concerned, as far as hurting another human being. But the, I guess, the organization, the Knox Pro Wrestling Academy, the individuals involved, either goading him on or not preventing this from happening, also deserve quite a bit of blame as well.
This is not a receipt. This was a mugging. Look, I've seen receipts handed out at indie shows.
I don't know what the chart is. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it would be, you know, you might catch an Aaron punch. Okay, there's your receipt. You're done. You paid back your opponent because they got you. They punched you in the nose the next match, or they were being sloppy in the ring. You slapped them a couple of times. You got them back. That's a receipt, Gerald. What happened at that event was not a receipt. I mean, you picked him up, you double-legged him and slammed him down. He knocked himself stupid. That's where it should have ended if you wanted to give a receipt. I could say within my 10 years of being at the indie level here in Ohio, that should have been it. But the idea that he mounted an unconscious man and continued to rain down punches is just inexcusable. It's yeah. And I mean, we've heard from Dad, we've heard from Rampage, who has stated, and I'm going to take his words with a little bit of grain of salt because it is his kid, you know, but he has stated how he has not condoned his son's actions and tried to make an apology and whatnot. But this was a bad situation from the get-go. Like, you're right. There's so many things that just happened that, you know, again, I don't know from my experience too. I know there's some guys that like to push the buttons a little bit, as Psycho Stu did. He hit him with the beer can. Maybe he thought that would get a ha-ha from the boys or whatnot, and then realizing, oh, sorry, Mr. Jackson, you're not part of the show, so to speak. You are just an ordinary, well, he's not so ordinary because he's a trained MMA fighter, but you get what I mean. He's just an average Joe who's there to see the show. And, like, again, I'm not excusing what Raja did, but things got set in motion earlier on in the night that shouldn't have been set in motion or should have been handled in a much better way. And, you know, I just heard the other day that some of those that are in charge of Knox Pro Wrestling has asked several of their students and several of their associates not to cooperate with the police. Now,
that's terrible, man.
You just said this is a bad look for pro wrestling. A cover up? Oh, that doesn't look bad, does it? Of course it does. And even if you don't do it, even if everybody says, "Hey, okay, we'll do it,"
whatever. You have hours of footage from Kick to look at, my friend.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
You can't hide anything. You can't cover up anything because it's all out there on video.
Exactly, exactly. So you can feel free not to talk to the police, people. But again, as Gerald and I just said, it's there. It's right there on Kick. I am sure that if the company that runs Kick gets hit with a subpoena, I'm sure they're going to cough up that footage faster than you can say Walla Walla, Washington.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very disappointing. And one of the worst parts about this, my friend, was Psycho Stu, his mother in real life, was there watching in the arena at that point in time, or in the audience at that point in time, seeing her son get massacred. And she'll be living with that for the rest of her life as well. And I know what it would do to my mom if she saw me being beaten like that. I think, I don't know, I'm not an legal expert on this, but, you know, it looks like he did knock him cold from that wheelbarrow slam where he had him over his head and he slammed him to the ground. If it had just been there, you could have said it was a pro wrestling accident, something like that. And maybe, okay, he suffered a concussion. That happens in the ring. You leave it at that. But it's those 20-plus punches on a helpless human being that is inexcusable in every way, shape, or form. And the fact that he was there in the first place in the ring doing anything with a wheelbarrow slam, the fact that it got to the point where even, you know, Psycho Stu, why did you hit him with the can in the first place? Did you ask or get proper information that he was a wrestler or not a wrestler? I mean, there's so many questions. And unfortunately, it's all right there on video. You know, nobody's going to be looking good coming out of this. And there's a very real possibility that Raha Jackson will be serving a lot of time in jail because of it.
Well, and, you know, the other unfortunate result, we don't know yet. We don't know what type of permanent damage Psycho Stu is dealing with, or will be dealing with, I should say.
Agree.
And that's not what pro wrestling is about. You know, pro wrestling is that you work with your partner or your partners to you give them your body, and you hope and you have that respect that you're not going to get hurt. All right, because of that gift, so to speak, of giving your body to your opponent to body slam you or to suplex you and to do it safely. And here, you know, that obviously did not happen. And, you know, you mentioned there's also some different stories that you hear, you know, that, oh, it was part of an angle. It wasn't part of an angle. The one gentleman who's in the cowboy hat had beef with some other folks.
Said that he had a beef with Psycho Stu himself.
Yeah.
That's why he was telling Raha Jackson, you'll get your receipt. Which in the business, as you know, means a payback in some sort of real form. So,
Yeah, and you know, I hate to say this, but you know, Rikishi was not there at the event or at the situation. I wonder, would have it made a difference? I'd like to think that Rikishi is a stand-up individual and would say, okay, you know, this is not cool. This is not what should have happened. Or even stepped up and because as you said, there were some people trying to help, and there were a couple of people that were doing a really poor job of trying to help.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I mean
that ref will never find work again. The wrestler that initially was like half-assing trying to pull him off, didn't do a good job of it. That guy is like all over the video and you know, I know the boys will just my knowledge of the business would say that the boys if I'm a wrestler, I don't want that guy in the locker room because he did, you know, nothing to really help that individual. It's there's one, I forgot the wrestler's name that dove in after the 20 punches and dove in from underneath the ring. You know, he came from somewhere else in you know locker rooms or whatnot to run in and save it. That's the only guy that seemed to actually care about what was going on. And then finally, all the other wrestlers came in there and you know, held Raja Jackson from doing any more damage, but the damage has already been done, and we will see what happens with that. But that's very, very unfortunate for everyone involved. Two lives are now forever changed because of it, and not in a good way. A organization, pro wrestling school and academy is an independent company. I don't see a good future for them now.
No.
Rikishi, I'm sorry, because this probably does not look good for your company going forward. These are the kind of things that put a stain on the eyes of pro wrestling. And it's just a shame how this all went down. But this could have all been prevented. And that's the biggest problem I have the most.
And I agree with you. It could have been prevented from... Like there were 6 or 7 or 8 chances where this could have stopped and this wouldn't have happened. But it's just, it's a hurricane of terrible miscommunication that allowed this to happen. And I don't know, it remains to be seen what the fallout will be, but it's not going to be positive. I have that feeling in my gut that it's not going to be a positive fallout.
In your experience, my friend, where does this stand as some of the ugliest incidents in pro wrestling? I mean, I'm not talking about like the Chris Benoit murder-suicide, because that's, I think, something that's happened outside the ring, per se, but that is probably the darkest moment in pro wrestling history. But inside the ring, is this one of the darkest moments you've ever seen?
Yeah, I would definitely say it would be. Just because of the I know this is going to sound really hokey, but if you see the video, there's like a veracity. I don't know if that's the right word. There's like this, just with Raja Jackson, it's like he just turned into a monster. You know what I mean?
The proverbial snapped. Yeah.
Yeah. And he had like just that demeanor, that look on
rage.
His face. Yeah. And I don't know. How do you get that angry? I mean, I get it. I get it that you got hit with a beer can. That's, you get an apology that might not be totally sincere. I don't know. I'm just theorizing that with that. But how do you go from that to what ended up happening? I don't know. It is the worst thing that I've seen.
And the fact that he was sitting there for hours, John, before it happened, seething in anger. And instead of somebody really trying to stop and prevent it from really something going wrong and just say, you know, dude, cool down, bro. Maybe we got to take you somewhere else. Maybe we got to take you out of here. Dinner's on me or something. Just, I don't want you doing something wrong. Instead, he was goaded on. And goaded on by individuals there, and yeah, it made everything worse.
Yeah, I mean, look, I gotta say that I've never seen something this vicious in my tenure of being in the indies. Not that it's comparing apples to oranges, but I've seen my fair share of promoters not paying their bills and stuff like that. But this is a whole other level than just not paying your bills, screwing over talent, canceling shows at the last minute. You know, this is something way bigger because, as you said just a few moments ago, lives have now been changed for the good, like forever. I mean, not for the good, but forever. Whatever happens, Raja Jackson's life is different. Psycho Stu's life is going to be different. And to be honest, it was all something that could have been avoided.
Absolutely. But we will wait and see what kind of pursuit the law enforcement agencies do in regards to the situation. But I believe it is going to be at some point something carried out. Whether or not anybody else, as far as accessories to this, will also get indicted or arrested, we will have to wait and see. But this was a very brutal beatdown. It puts a black eye onto the industry of pro wrestling. And again, our thoughts are with Psycho Stu. Again, Psycho Stu, he hit Raja with that can starting all this, but again, no human being for what he did. He tried to apologize, you know, thought everything was cool. Obviously, that wasn't the case. But our thoughts are with Psycho Stu, at the hands of a merciless beating by Raja Jackson. I guess he's still in the hospital as of this recording. So our thoughts are with him. I believe there's a GoFundMe if you want to go ahead and contribute to it. Several wrestlers, Mr. Beast, has also contributed to it as well. So our best wishes to Psycho Stu on a speedy recovery. And we'll see how this plays out in the coming weeks and months through law enforcement. But if you have thoughts on the fallout from the Raja Jackson incident at Knox Pro Professional Wrestling, please let us know your thoughts at Pop Culture Cosmos or at PVDcast as well. But my friend, before we hit the half-hour break, I thought we'd go ahead and touch on some things right now in the world of pro wrestling. Before we get to your test and your quiz that I have to give you, well, it's funny and it's not funny because your pocketbook won't be laughing if you actually do all what is said to be done or you need to do in regards to it. I wanted to go ahead and touch on for the final 8 minutes, talk about the wrestling war in Mexico, because I know that all of us are always focused in on WWE versus AEW. I know that Japan, because of its certain status right now as far as pro wrestling, doesn't have the same heights that it once did in the world of pro wrestling. But if you look south of the border and you go to Mexico, and we talked about what WWE has done purchasing the majority of AAA, CMLL is actually right now outdrawing AAA, although AAA just had their huge Triple Mania, which was one of their biggest house gates ever. They also showed it live on YouTube and just absolutely killed it once again. The second YouTube WWE venture with AAA, and absolutely did great numbers off it as well. But the weekly house numbers in Mexico are being turned in by AAA, but also as well, more importantly, CMLL, that doesn't get always the worldwide attention that AAA now does. CMLL has been killing it in Arena Coliseo, Mexico, down there, as far as in such a great fashion all over Mexico. Your thoughts on this battle? I've told you, I asked you to take a look at it. You've seen the sellouts several weeks in a row. Dave Meltzer has been quoted as saying for the Wrestling Observer that it is probably the hottest period for Lucha Libre, maybe in its history. And for my lifetime, I was not there for El Santo, but I was there as far as observing quite a bit from the 90s when it was red hot as well. You talk about the team of Art Barr and Eddie Guerrero and how much heat that they got. That actually coincided with Worlds Collide, where they had that fantastic match, that almost history-changing match at the Los Angeles Sports Arena. But that all emanated from what they were doing in Mexico. Your thoughts on this right now? I mean, AAA, red hot. CMLL, red hot. It looks like Mexico could be the hottest wrestling, area on the planet. And that's not saying with other places around the world that are still pretty hot as well.
I do have a quick question about CMLL. Are they the ones that own their own buildings?
I'm not 100% sure. I know they're affiliated with AEW, but I do know that they have certain arenas that they have or that they go to on a weekly basis that I know that AAA sometimes most likely doesn't. Okay. But there are those that are shared or by both organizations, but AAA, but I do know that there are some that are specifically CML only and AAA only at this point in time.
I was just asking that because I know there's been for years prior to this boom, there has been that idea, that theory about that if you were AAA, a wrestler.
It does own Arena Mexico, by the way. CML, yes, it does own Arena Mexico.
I was gonna ask that because I think that's something that you have to factor in.
And they own three other arenas. Yes. Good. Yeah, that's a good call, my friend. Good call.
Yeah, so I think those that little item and owning those buildings helps out quite a bit with CMLL. If you already own the building, then you know what your overhead is. You know how many people you could fit in there, where people need to be, you know, for TV purposes and whatnot. I think that CMLL is doing a great job with their particular brand of Lucha Libre.
The storylines are hot, red hot right now down in Mexico.
Absolutely. And AAA, obviously you're getting the bump from the WWE. I will say this, I was very much interested in Triple Mania, and I thought it was a good show, but I was a little surprised that there wasn't. To me, I think I wanted more Lucha Libre, more luchadors. Uh-huh. I didn't want the WWE individuals there. I thought that there should have been a better balance where you maybe had more, like, because Dominic Mysterio and AJ Styles, okay, it's on the show, but really that to me is not what I would be tuning into. Yeah. I'm tuning in to see, you know, those folks, you know, like Averno and Ultimo Guerrero and who else is in CMLL? Oh, Commander and
yes,
and Mascara Dorada. Like, I want to see those folks because I'm not exposed to them as much. You know, I even here, you know, I almost said I had to read the aftermags to know what was going on in Mexico. But you have to follow it online. You have to be able to.
Well, El Hijo del Vikingo, he beat Alberto El Patron coincidentally around the time that WWE officially took over AAA, which I think was an edict from the WWE. I think the fans, though, want Alberto El Patron to come back. And I know he has a very rough history in the U.S. or with the WWE, however you want to see it. So we'll see how that plays itself out. But you're right. They are doing a good job of integrating their storylines in both the CMLL standpoint and then also AAA standpoint. But will the WWE influence, will the influx of WWE wrestlers mean good, or is it just going to be a WWE byproduct that we'll have to wait and see, John?
Yeah, that's my big concern right now is
like TNA.
Yeah, exactly. Where do all these various different things evolve? NXT, TNA, AAA, where do they all meet together? Like, when does the puzzle come together with all the pieces in place? I'll say this. If CMLL can continue to push the envelope in Mexico, that's great for wrestling fans. That's great for fans of Lucha Libre. Because as we've seen before in the early 2000s, when it's just the WWE, we're getting some really crappy wrestling. So I think AAA being under the umbrella of WWE helps them tremendously compete with CMLL. And I think that's great for fans. If you have competition, then it's going to make things more interesting. It's going to make the storylines, either be very fantastic or just very bad. And if they're bad, they go, cut them and leave them. I just think that as I'm starting to ramble a little bit, just hands down, I think that it helps the product overall if you have two organizations competing. And unlike in the U.S., Mexico's got it.
And I tell you what, they're almost at the same level right now of success for both those companies. I'd say I give CMLL a slight little lead on AAA, but that with the WWE's help, that gap is closing very quickly. But John, before we hit the half-hour break, you can let it out to us. You can expose your secret here. You are a super stan of Mr. Iguana, aren't you?
Well,
he's actually blown up. He is the biggest beneficiary of the WWE's transaction with AAA.
Absolutely, he is. And I would say, am I a fan of Mr. Iguana? I'm a fan of what was Finn Balor's puppet, Dima Ito.
Yeah,
I'm a fan of that. I thought that was well done. I liked it. So all we need now is Santino Marella with the Cobra, and we'd have it. We'd have it all together. We'd have all the puppets in the same match.
And if Danhausen ever gets out of AEW jail, I know a lot of people want to just direct him to what's going on in AAA as well. But if you have thoughts on the huge wrestling war in Mexico, which is probably the best wrestling going on right now on the planet, as far as production, as far as storylines, as far as just basically two companies going all out with successful tactics that is getting people in the door, in the arena, and watching on TV. Please let us know your thoughts. But John, you have one more point?
I have one more point real quick. You just mentioned that TV. CMLL, I assume that they have a television deal, but does AAA have a television deal outside of what the WWE is providing them?
I don't think that they do. Well, in their own country, yes, but I believe outside of that, like Univision, which is owned by Universal, as far as NBC Universal, they don't have that at this point in time. But that seems like something that it could be transitioned to at some point in time that could make it more interesting for them being able to translate that success from just Mexico to the U.S. Because at times, Lucha Libre has transcended well in certain pockets of the U.S. There's been successful shows in L.A., Chicago, and New York by both AAA and CML, Texas as well. So other spots around the country. It's just never been sustainable. So I'm hoping one day that we can get a product that is sustainable from Mexico to celebrate the Hispanic culture and Lucha Libre around this country as well.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
But yeah, if you have thoughts on the wrestling war in Mexico, I think, again, this is the way you want to see it because both companies are going all out and it's making the wrestling and Lucha Libre product, I believe, in my opinion, better for the fans in Mexico. So if you have thoughts on the wrestling war in Mexico, please let us know. Pop Culture Cosmos or the PVD Cast right there on all your social media outlets. But my friend, 32 minutes in, it is, of course, John Orlando, along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching, listening. It's the State of Pro Wrestling. All right, John, here we go. Your pocketbook is not going to be happy because during the time that we have not spoken, the WWE made some changes. They finished out some agreements. They made some changes to their programming that will be actually upcoming in the not-too-distant future. First off, I think the biggest news was that for their PLEs going forward, starting with the WrestlePalooza event that was added, because they actually finished up their contract with Peacock on their PLEs earlier than what was agreed upon, because I guess it was based on the number of dates, because the second night of SummerSlam, the second night of WrestleMania, that counts as a separate PLE, which I don't think Peacock was actually thinking about at the time that they made that agreement. But okay, they agreed to a deal with ESPN. So ESPN regular will be kicking it off, I believe, with the WrestlePalooza event on all their formats. But ESPN just kicked off last week an ESPN Unlimited app, which brings in all the ESPN entities under one umbrella, of course, that you pay at a $29.99 premium, but it will bring you a whole bunch of more sports, and going forward in the future will bring you ESPN PLEs as well. But Peacock from NBC Universal, they're not fully out on things, because Saturday Night's Main Event, in a probably a decision I wouldn't have made, but they did make, will now stream exclusively on the Peacock app 4 times each year. I don't know how many years, if it's going to be just next year or beyond, but Saturday Night's Main Event will be an exclusive on Peacock. And the reason why I had an issue with that, John, is because of the fact on the December 13th Boston event, it is John Cena's retirement match. I would have put that on NBC regular. That's just me. But yes, it's just going to be on Peacock. So you have to go ahead and make sure you pony up for that same subscription on Peacock to get all that. The library, the entire WWE Network library will be on Peacock through end of 2025. Where that goes from there could be interesting. Someone could utilize that entire library if it's utilized properly. I think they could utilize it and can utilize it better than Peacock. WWE, hire me, because I got some ideas on that. And then the NXT Premium Live events will be available on Peacock until March 2026, which means another part of the WWE library, or the WWE Pantheon, WWE umbrella, will be probably up for sale and could be going somewhere else sometime in mid-2026. So with all that, and that's not even to mention TNA, if they end up buying TNA or helping TNA get a media deal, and doesn't even mention the SmackDown show still on the USA Network, or Raw, which is on Netflix. And again, outside of the US, my friend, all these PLEs are going to be shown on Netflix. So again, depending on where you are in the world, depending on if you have cable or not, because that's another side thing. If you have traditional cable, you may be able to get the ESPN Unlimited app for free. But they haven't said which cable outlets, though. So good luck on that one. So with all that said, I know that there was a graphic going around. I'm sure you saw it on Facebook and other social media on exactly, with this new concept, how much more it will cost you if you wanted all the WWE programming as of now. Keywords, as of now. So with all that said, I think somebody said an extra over $1,000 a year. Which is obviously not that attractive at all. Your thoughts on this? Again, they're owned by TKO. TKO has clearly stated that they were out for making this as monetarily attractive to them as possible. They're sure they're publicly traded owned company. They're trying to make things look good for investors. They also, on the side, after the ESPN deal with WWE, they also made a deal for their UFC to go ahead to go to Paramount Plus and CBS for a $7.7 billion deal. The WWE ESPN deal, I think, is for like for one and a half, a little over that, if I remember correctly. good chunk of change if you can get it. So your thoughts, my friend, all this money is flying around to TKO in the form of WWE and as far as UFC, but where does that leave you as a consumer?
Oh, my head is spinning. After
I thought it would be. I told you there's a quiz coming up at the end of the show.
I'm going to fail that quiz miserably.
You and everybody else.
Whatever happened to having, like, you know, a company own everything? Like, it seems like the WWE and TKO, like, they can't have any loyalty. We're going to be on Paramount Plus. We're going to be on Netflix. We're going to be on USA. We're going to be on ESPN. Like, I know it's all the money. I get it. But just, I guess maybe I hearken back to a simpler time where, you know, if you had a company, General Electric just made, you know, appliances. That's all they did. They didn't dabble with other things. I mean, it's bonkers what they're doing. And here's the thing. I've already made up my mind. I will probably, if they offer the package, I will get the four big pay-per-views and that'll be it. Mania, Survivor Series, SummerSlam, Royal Rumble. All right. That's all I'm really interested in.
You'll pay the
in.
$30 a month for the ESPN Unlimited app for those four pay-per-views. Is that correct?
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's...
Unless you have it on your cable system. If you have your cable system, it works with that, then there you go.
I don't know.
You got it. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. Don't we have Clash in Paris coming up this weekend? And is that one... Clash, is
but
that...
that's on Peacock. That is the last PLE, traditional WWE PLE that will be on Peacock. And going forward, their contract with Peacock on PLEs is done. So the WrestlePalooza event that is going to be Brock Lesnar versus John Cena supposedly headlining that event, that that's coming up in mid-September, that is going to be on ESPN. But I'm assuming it's going to also be on the regular ESPN because they want to start bringing everyone in and getting them to understand that the ESPN Unlimited app, which just opened up last week, that's where they're going to be trending. But the WrestlePalooza event was created specifically for showing this off to ESPN viewers throughout. And I think it's smart, which I think is smart. So this is where we're at. But how can you say if we're running that company and they want us to break up the WWE into small little different pieces and sell it for the, you know, the highest bidder on each one of those pieces or thereabouts, I can't say I blame them. From a capitalistic standpoint, it's great. From a fan, wrestling fan standpoint, it absolutely sucks. And it's just... it's going to be so hard to continue to watch this product consistently going forward because there's so many things you have to adhere to from the USA Network to Netflix to Peacock to ESPN, ESPN Unlimited app. Who knows where the NXT PLEs will wind up? The CW for the NXT regular show. We didn't even mention that. So, and where the library, if you want to check out stuff from the library, or you just, there's talk about YouTube and Google getting more invested in the WWE because of the success of, what did I say? The WWE Vault. I was talking about how that was a big success for them. They're talking about maybe possibly getting that library as well. So, and of course, they've seen what they've success they've done with AAA on those free shows on YouTube. So, yeah, it's...
I just can't believe... if you told me 10 years ago this is what would happen with the WWE, I would have laughed at you and said, you're crazy. There's no way. There's no way that, A, WWE is going to absorb all these other territories, so to speak, or promotions, so to speak. B, they're going to fracture everything up so that, you know, you have Netflix and Paramount Plus. Well, that's TKO. Sorry. But anyways, you get what I mean. Like, there's all these fractured places around, you know, and... I don't know. It's going to be, I mean, I'm going to be a smart aleck. Is Evolve still going to be on Tubi for free? Because I mean,
I don't know how much longer. Yeah. That
anyways.
Again,
yeah. I just,
all bets are off right now. You, for now you do.
Yeah, exactly. We'll talk again in 6 months and see if that is accurate or not, what happened. I don't know. I'm thinking that's going to be my game plan, but it does really kind of, I guess, rub me the wrong way that it seems like I was under the facade that there's, you know, honor among the WWE to show you great wrestling because you're a wrestling fan and because we appreciate you. But in reality, it's all about the money. And I know it's always been about the money. But
and it will always continue to be about the money.
That's right. That's right. But we fool ourselves into thinking that they have some much more fan-oriented objective. Yes, there you go. Thank you. Love for the business. But it's all about the money. And I don't know, $1,000 more a year to get everything. Nah, sorry. That's way too much for my blood. Way too thick.
But it is what it is right now for consumers out there who want to follow WWE, not to mention the house shows, not to mention the live shows, not to mention the fact that those rates will be going up. So if you are a fan of the WWE, please let us know how more confusing and frustrating it will be for you to try and follow the product on the PVD cast and also as well at the Pop Culture Cosmos as well. And speaking of the WWE, I wanted to ask you, my friend, when it comes to the WWE, I mean, they always go through a creative lull in the summer. It's so hard after WrestleMania to sustain that high, and we understand. I get that. And I give them a little bit of slack for it. But right now, and John Cena has admitted that the heel turn didn't quite work out as best as it, you know, they thought it would be. They're kind of flat right now. Their storylines are really not that interesting to follow. A lot of things are going on. The matches are okay at best. It just seems kind of stale. It's gotten kind of stale real quickly. In your opinion, is the WWE a hot mess right now creatively?
No, I don't think it's a hot mess. It's just not clicking on all 8 cylinders like it was before Mania. Uh-huh. We've talked about, you know, you've got the Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Bron Breakker, CM Punk, LA Knight, Jey Uso. You have that whole giant mix-up. I don't even know. It's like a tossed salad, if you will. It's just, it doesn't make sense. And there's way too many people in there. You can't focus on, you know, like, for an example, Bron Breakker, when you also have to focus on Seth Rollins and whatnot. I'm not really sold on this Rhea Ripley and Io Sky tag team. I just feel like it's another throw two people together tag team that we,
with the potential now, looks like there's going to be a falling out between Io Sky and Asuka and Kairi Sane, and it's just again that there's the Judgment Day. The Judgment Day seems to be better equipped to be in a better spotlight when they're dealing with AAA than they're mm-hmm. being shown off at Raw, because they seem to be in, all of them have been knocked down a peg since Rhea Ripley has left, and Damian Priest as well. Speaking of Damian Priest, he just came back. Does anyone care? At this point, I don't know what's going to go on with this product right now, because again, it's just, you know, what does Cody Rhodes do now as the champion? CM Punk, we saw coming as far as the injury angle, Seth Rollins, where does that go now with CM Punk? Because CM Punk, I think at this some point in time should be given the title back to have a run with it before he ages out entirely. And are you waiting for Royal Rumble to do that? Are you waiting for WrestleMania to do that? But I don't know where these builds are going. I don't like to where these builds are going. It's just not entertaining. It's not what I think people are wanting, or not what people are asking, which is a concern because of the high rates that they're charging now to watch or go live to. If you're not writing compelling storylines, it may be harder for those individuals to keep coming in the door.
And you know what? There's no excuse. They can start pulling people from other companies. I mean, they've done it in the past and it's done very well. Start doing it now. Like, put Mr. Iguana on SmackDown. Let him do his thing. That would be something interesting. How's he going to handle, you know, a serious main event contender? Better utilize, you know, I think Penta is one that is starting to show signs that they're not really behind him. So why has he not paired up with his brother? I don't know. That would be an awesome tag team that could just do it all. Like I said, Gerald, I don't think it's a total hot mess, but I think it's just not as sharp as it used to be, especially coming out of Mania. It's just kind of dull. It's not super sharp.
That's true, my friend. So we will see what happens. Again, I think a lot of the people that are watching, or a lot of the industry, or people inside WWE, I think they're just waiting for John Cena to retire. I think they're waiting for that to end. Not from a frustration standpoint, but I think everybody's in a holding pattern, waiting for the John Cena retirement tour to end at this point. And once it ends, well, now we can get back to whatever it is we were doing as far as the WWE creative is concerned. I think it's all centered around John Cena. It's not to his fault, to his detriment, but I just think it's naturally steering in that direction, like it's revolving around John Cena, whether we like it or not.
Oh, I totally think that John Cena's retirement has overshadowed the WWE, even with the heel turn. I think it overshadowed a lot of other great programs that were going on, or storylines that were going on, because you can't be mad at John Cena. You're calling it quits after 25 years. This is big. This is a big deal. So, I mean, I know you can't predict how much of a big deal that was going to be, but maybe, you know, when that started to take off, maybe we could have put some of those really good storylines on ice for a little bit until Cena is all the way finished.
Yeah, I agree, my friend. But we will see what happens with WWE creative if it gets spiced up before the end of the year. But if you think right now otherwise, like you're excited for the product, or if you're not so excited, we want to hear your thoughts on the Pop Culture Cosmos and the PVD cast on all of our social media as well. But before we head on out, my friend, and before we hear an update from you on what's going on at the PVD cast and Matt Talk, AEW just got finished with Forbidden Door overseas. Hangman Page, he won at All in Texas, as far as the title is concerned. And this is his second run as champion. He did defeat MJF over the course of the weekend. MJF in this run, kind of like mixed feelings on, because he was totally wasted. But the Hurt Business and MJF were wasted with that grouping scenario. I have no idea what the thought process there. They kind of let it just end. And I thought that was, again, just really stupid pairing them up. The Hurt Business, they had the titles taken off of them, and they didn't even have to lose to do it, which I thought was absolutely stupid, because if you have a dominant team making some noise with fans, why not keep it rolling? I guess, you know, you just have to look at the Road Warriors to see that outline of how that worked out for them.
Yeah.
But no, God forbid you would not want to do that. But Adam Hangman Page, he is the title holder. He did beat MJF for the weekend. MJF still holds a contract which he can cash in like a money in the bank at any point in time still. It's, you know, as much as we've been fond of MJF's work over the years, this year hasn't been as kind creatively to him. I still think he's the best option for that company. And with Will Ospreay being out for several months, no other real top-tier individuals. Swerve Strickland just got his long-torn meniscus surgically repaired as well. There are no top contenders right now at AEW that I would say are great. The reunion of Christian Cage and, of course, Adam Copeland, that's great for all of 10 minutes, and we'll see how that goes from there. Your thoughts on Hangman Page as their champion? Because, again, I think he's a little bit more mature now in dealing with it. I think he's been a little bit better in handling it, but I'm still not sure if he's the guy you should be giving it to at this point in time. But right now, do they have anyone else?
They have no one else. They don't, because they have screwed things up with MJF. I mean, Ospreay's been injured. I know you can't help that. But they've done nothing to build anybody else. And we say that all the time, but it's true. They have not built any contenders for Hangman Page that can step in. No one wants to see Moxley and Page again. That boat, and in fact, you know, they're now helping Chris Statlander for some reason. No one knows why. Anyways, yeah, here's my problem. Hangman Page is a fine wrestler. He's a good wrestler. He doesn't have the it factor. He's like Rick Martel. He's like Tommy Wildfire Rich. He's like Jey Uso. He doesn't have that extra oomph to his character, to his presentation, that makes you go, that guy is a world champion. I mean, you look at it in history. Ric Flair has that it factor that made him believable that he is a champion. Hogan, all the greats had that. Paige is missing that. And I don't really know if you can teach that. You either got
you either
it,
have or it or you don't.
Right. Yeah. And I just don't see where he's got it right now, but he's the best that they have. They can't go with anybody else. I mean, you could go to New Japan, but a lot of those guys are kind of getting, like Tanahashi, for an example. He's starting to get up there in age. You know, Okada has kind of been a little bit on the downhill too. So you can't put the belt on him. There's just no one there to do what needs to
and
be
the,
done.
And their women's side too is the same thing, because you booked everybody into a corner. Toni Storm has beaten everyone there of any credibility at all. And
yeah,
she's now on an island in and of herself at this point in time as well.
Right. And they try to fix that by bringing in Alex Windsor. Okay, that's fine. I don't want to be me. Thank you. I was just going to say, who are you, Alex Windsor? I don't know anything about you. And you're right. You're not moving the needle. It's just more of the same from Tony and the crew. And look, I'm tired of the Young Bucks being the comedy act right now, where they're the ousted EVPs and everything crappy happens to them. That's played out. That's bogus. That's lame. Get them off TV for a while and give that spot to somebody else where you could build somebody. I don't know. Great on AEW for having a pretty good house, from what I understand. They had
it was a great house. Congratulations to them. Yeah, they are still very successful overseas. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so I give tip of the hat on that one, but overall, big picture, I don't know what's going on. I don't know who or what you could do to fix that ship, so to speak.
But my friend, we'll try to fix this ship here. But again, before we leave AEW entirely, I will say again, letting the Hurt Business, having the Hurt Business drop their titles and the talk about how they won't drop the titles, they're being protective of their spot because they see what many other people see is them as the dominant non-WWE team on the planet right now. And why would you have them drop it? Because they're bringing you notoriety. They're bringing you people in there to want to see them. And you just, again, tried to find any which way to get the tag belts off of them, which was absolutely just mind-numbingly stupid indeed. But again, my friend, it is AEW, and we'll see how it continues. And again, kudos, with all of our criticisms aside, kudos on selling out overseas, the O2 Arena, and hopefully they'll continue to be successful no matter what the WWE tries to put in front of them, because it's clear the WWE wants them out in any way possible.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely clear as day. I'd like to say one more thing about the Hurt Business. You were talking about them being protective of their spot. That's because they are professionals. They realize the bigger picture. They realize how this business works because they've been in it for so long that they get it. They understand it. They've sat with the big wigs and absorbed that knowledge. I don't know if we could say that for half the roster of AEW.
They're closing in on 50, and they're now at the spot that they should have been at various stages of their WWE career, but they've never were given that full continuous opportunity. They were given flashes, pushes, but nothing continuous throughout the course of their history of the WWE. They're now realizing their success, and they understand that they have a limited time window in doing so. And it's just, I don't know. I just absolutely don't get it. The fans are behind them. They're supposed to be a heel tag team, and the fans are really supportive of them. They get it. They enjoy it. And I don't know. It just seems like another missed opportunity, but we will see what happens as AEW continues on. If you have thoughts on where we're at with Hangman Page, Tony Storm, the Hurt Business, MJF, anything relating to AEW, please let us know at, of course, the PVCast, Matt Talk, and the Pop Culture Cosmos on social media. But before we head on out, my friend, I need an update. I don't see or come across any of your social media postings, and I'm totally lying when I say that, because I see two or three every day, because you are the best that is at reminding everyone why they should check in with the PVD cast. But if they, for some reason, are the one person on the planet that doesn't see your social media, what's going on at the PVD cast and Matt Talk that's out there?
Well, with Matt Talk, we just started reviewing and discussing episodes from season 7. Right now, The Vacation is the episode that we just dropped this past Sunday. It is, again, the first episode of season 7. You see a lot of changes because this is the season where the show went from NBC to ABC. So Jason and my partner and I, we sit down and talk a lot about the changes that were made, and you can catch the Matt Talk over at the YouTube channel. Just go over to YouTube, put in Matt Talk Podcast, and it'll load. You can catch it there. As for the PVD cast, I had one of the most delightful episodes I've had in a very long time. As a matter of fact, little fact, it's the longest episode I've ever done. 1 hour and 19 minutes.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't with me, that's for sure.
No, it was with, of course, 80s wrestling fan Brian, who is an LJN wrestling figure aficionado. He collects them. He repaints them. He did a Bruno Sammartino for me, and it was I was an 8-year-old child, Gerald. I could not wait for that box to show up. Brian's a really good dude. He's got his own podcast called Legendary Wrestling Action Figures Podcast, and Legendary is spelled LEJENDARY, a little play on the LJN there and Legendary. But if you are like me, and Gerald, did you have LJNs when you were growing up?
Only a couple at that point in time. But mainly I was more into wearing the t-shirts, like the Hot Rod t-shirt. I was a big, huge mark for Roddy Piper at that point in time. So yes, but I did have a couple at that point in time, and I'm sure I wrecked them to death as far as it's concerned. But yes, mainly the t-shirts when it came to my following pro wrestling.
Okay. Well, Brian and I were nuts for LJN, so it was awesome to talk to him about him. And you should definitely check
you have the whole wrestling ring, correct, as well?
I have the wrestling ring. I have this blue steel cage that came nice. Along with it. Nice. In fact, I'll be honest. I thought that I was just missing a lot of the LJNs. Here, I'm only missing 8. So I'm oh. And most of them are from the last year. So, and, you know, there's a whole story that last year was plagued with production problems. So we'll just leave it at that. But yes, please check out the PVD cast at pvdcast.com or wherever you find great podcasts.
Absolutely. But my friend, it's been a great episode. Again, you are so busy and work so hard on trying to get out there the great things that you do on the PVD cast and Matt Talk. It's always great having you on, my friend, and I look forward to our conversations always on pro wrestling. Any last thoughts, my friend, before we head on out?
No, I think we started off this episode kind of with a really terrible story. And we ended it, I think, a little bit with some lighter fare talking about AEW. So, folks, just enjoy wrestling. Go out there. Seek it out. Like what you like. Dislike what you dislike. It's all good. It's all fine. If you're a fan, just keep watching wrestling. And that's all I got to say.
John Orlando, you're the best, my friend. He is the guy behind the PVD cast and, of course, also saw Matt Talk. It is John Orlando. Please like and subscribe to all the stuff he does on the Matt Talk YouTube channel. And then also, of course, the PVD cast, wherever you get your podcasts. So for my tag team partner, John Orlando, this is me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching, listening. Again, please like and subscribe. Always help us out wherever you can. And make sure you follow us when we get into the ring each and every month right here on the State of Pro Wrestling from the PVD cast and, of course, the pop culture cosmos. Ding, ding, ding!
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Gerald Glassford from the pop culture cosmos, talking about the state of pro wrestling, which we love doing every single month, and we hope that you enjoy it as well. And maybe you want to let me know about that. Well, there's a couple different ways you can do that. First, you can be old school and shoot me an email. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. Just look for @PVDcast. And I'm still on Twitter. You can find me at my own personal Twitter handle of @PVDMVP. Now, maybe you want to help me out and help spread the word. And you know some people that would like the PVDcast. And you want to let them know where they can hear it. Well, there's a couple different avenues for that. First, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly and the best place to get every single new episode. But the show is also available through all those major podcasting outlets and apps. All you have to do is go to your favorite outlet or app, go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it and you should find it. And while you're there, using that app, using that outlet, help me out. How, you say? Well, by rating and reviewing. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm, and it's super important for independent podcasters to let those companies know that people are listening. So once again, if you can, rate and review, and, you know, for your own convenience, subscribe so that you never miss another episode of the PVDcast. There is one final way that you can enjoy the weekly episode, and that is Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time through the Facebook page. I do a nice little live broadcast for you. So there you go. There's three different ways to catch the PVDcast. That's through PVDcast.com, through your favorite outlet or app, or Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time through the Facebook page. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2025.